Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. So glad that you joined us today. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Make sure you catch our programs. If you missed some of our earlier programs, we're focusing on Israel and trying to stay connected and praying for them and understand that God will respond to us when we say we care. He's just looking for someone who cares. Like you said with Sodom and Gomorrah, he just said, will somebody stand for Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And this is Israel. So, I mean, this is not Sodom and Gomorrah. Hello. So if you'll stand for Israel, God will respond. Mm-hmm. And I encourage you, if you haven't yet gone to VFNTV.com and checked out CUFI, Christians United for Israel, downloaded your Red Alert Israel, created by a 13-year-old, where over 100,000 folks have downloaded that.
Awesome.
Yeah, this is so powerful. So cool to see the young people moving along. And come, we would like to even have you part of what we're even doing. But we'll be talking about today about Israel. And notice that God said in his word very specifically that I will bless all nations on earth through you, speaking to Israel. I will bless all nations on earth through you. And this week, by God's grace, we're going to be bringing you very specifically five award-winning segments about Israel. And they have to do with the amazing blessing on Israel and what's taken place. I mean, from agriculture to water technologies. Uh-huh.
Well, there is a warning with these videos. I mean, we do have to warn you that if you watch them, you may be stirred and you may want to move to Israel as a result of it.
Invest in Israel.
No doubt.
Yeah, it is really amazing. And how they're using these technologies around the world to bless folks. And just like, for example, with the World Cup. Who was watching out over the World Cup was the drones that Israel sent down them to look over them. But medical technology, just so many things we'll be talking about during this week to be able to just give you... You need perspective, because if you listen to most of the media out there, they have portraying Israel something that they're not, which shows you, by the way, the only reason they would be doing that is if they're held captive by darkness, because why would you call light dark? Why would you call no yes? And why would you call up down unless you're trying to divert people from the reality of the blessing on them? Mm-hmm. And it's like, really? I mean, come on, that's God blessing Israel. And, So we'll be having that day today where it's going to be agriculture, right?
Correct.
We'll be talking, showing you agriculture. So make sure you stay tuned. I want you to see this entire, about 10 minutes, of just seeing what God has done through them because their tenacity. One thing they have is tenacity.
Oh, they do.
They push through it. And I can say that about those that are part of this crew. I mean, we have had, I mean, if you're going to do something, if God's going to use you, you cannot, I mean, like Steve Hill talked about, or like, Pastor John Kilpatrick talked about during Steve Hill's memorial service was, you know, you had to, I mean, it doesn't just happen. You got to fight for it. You got to press in. You got to push. I'm talking about the Brownsville outpouring and revival that took place and how everybody's looking for a gooey, ooey feeling. And it's like, how about just look for God?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
How about show up at work and work hard and God give you some great ideas?
Do your job.
Do it. I just did my job. That's a big revelation.
It is.
It's a big revelation. What do you got to do? Just do your job. Just do it well. And so we'll be talking about that. Also, we have a very hilarious video done by this young man. I think he probably does several of them. I can't vouch for all of his others. But he has social experiments that he does with folks. And one of them is he put a $20 bill on the end of a fishing line. And he is casting it out into a crowd, and he's, you know, coming around the corner or whatever, and he starts reeling this in, and people just see the $20 bill on the ground. And so you have these grown folks running around the way a tarpon would, or the way a red snapper would, you know, or a bass, you know, depends on where you are in the nation, and just chasing it around. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, you know. He's fishing for people, and he's almost catching them. It's like, oh, my goodness. You almost caught a woman. You almost called a man. And it just makes me think about, you know, when we're looking at that, that Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. But he did not give us money to fish for men. But when you look at America, if we're, according to George Barna, spending $1.3 million per baptized believer, maybe we're putting money on the end of a fishing string instead of the presence of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God to do the things of God. And maybe, you know, even though it's funny, you know, we'll look at this and really think about it. And you'll enjoy it. You'll laugh. It's fairly, it's hilarious, actually. It's very hilarious. And John, you're Francis Chan's wife?
Yes, Francis Chan and his wife, Lisa Chan, they wrote a book together about marriage. And which is interesting is that he felt, Francis Chan felt compelled to write this book by God. And they offer a very unique perspective. Actually, it's biblical. But they talk about marriage, about not so much about individually coming together, but more how does our marriage serve God.
Yeah.
And it's Francis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful.
Oh,
so we have him and his wife actually talking a little bit about it. They self-published it because they want to get it into the hands of as many people as they can, even free or whatever.
Right.
They're trying to get it out
to
folks. Really, really good stuff coming up.
That's a marriage that will last.
Yeah, most definitely.
And there's two other topics.
Yes. We're also going to talk about, you know, the secret to being the secret to being content and being an overcomer. Oftentimes people look at discomfort, obstacles, pain, and struggles in their life, and they look at, you know, things that they can't do as opposed to what they can do. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that and share a testimony from Nick. Don't have his last name for you, but you're going to be empowered to really redefine what's happening in your life and how Jesus already tells us what to do. And
right.
Paul learned the secret, and we're going to share it with you. It's right there in our Bible.
And what is this thing about this man saying that's my calling to kill children?
Yes, an abortionist doctor who has killed 95,000 babies.
Wow.
95,000 babies in Milwaukee sees it as his calling to perform abortions. And he's looking to retire, but he can't retire, he feels, until he finds someone that can take over his practice. Which we would say is, you know, chop shop, you know.
Right. And you think about it, and this is the thing, we're going to be talking about this, but the things that God hates, one of the things that he hates, Proverbs 5, I believe it is hands that shed innocent blood.
Yeah.
God hates this man's hands. 95,000 babies, 000. Innocent bloodshed.
Wow.
We're going to talk about this and more when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Right now, if you're hearing anybody say it's over for America and God's finished with America and he's going to move on to another part of the world. Well, he is moving to other parts of the world. This is not just about America. But if you're hearing anybody say it's over for us and we're going to just become a nation that's completely apostate and away from God, don't pay any attention to them because they're not hearing from God. And rarely am I that bold to say that about anybody else's message, but I'm telling you right now, don't listen to them, and don't send them any money, and don't buy their books. Because God is not finished with America. We're about to step into the third great awakening. We're already moving into it. Listen, God's just moving. And we're about to step into, I believe, the greatest, the absolute greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit worldwide that the church has ever seen. And I'm including the book of Acts.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I love you just the way you are.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Does your child feel loved no matter what? Dr. Walt Larimore shares two simple questions he used to ask of his son, Scott.
My granddad taught me something that was irreplaceable in dealing with Scott as he grew up, and that was to tell Scott, I would ask him, Scott, what is one thing you can do to make me love you more? And the answer was, nothing. And I would follow that by asking, what's one thing you can do that would make me love you less? And the answer is nothing. Now, there's some things you can do I won't like, and where you'll cross over a line and there'll be consequences. But you will never change my love for you.
Unconditional love, like God's love, will be your most powerful tool as a mom or a dad. Hear more from Dr. Walt Larimore today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Oh, my goodness. Listen. Man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it, in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. There it's you yours. Right. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are going to go right into this hilarious, hilarious video. Don't forget, in today's program, you're going to be able to see some beautiful things that God has done, how he's blessed Israel in regards to agriculture. You're going to get a great perspective this week as we're helping all of us to begin to see how God has blessed Israel. If we bless Israel, then God will bless
That's
us.
Right.
But this particular guy, Andrew, what's his name?
Hales.
Hales.
Andrew Hales.
Does these social type experiment videos or whatever. And this particular one is hilarious because he's taken a fishing line and a fishing pole. And instead of putting bait on the end of it, he puts a $20 bill and he has these people walking by and he casts it out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they reach down and start to pick it up and he just starts reeling it in and it starts moving around. And these people are running after it. This is hilarious. Take a look at this. By the way, those are listening to radio. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. We'll make this available for you if you're not watching us on CTN. Take a look.
Thank you.
hilarious. That is just hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
You think about it. You know, what's the words of Jesus? What, in Matthew
4:19 says, I'll make you fishers of men.
I'll make you fishers of men. And so you look at them, and oh, this is hilarious what he was doing. I love those kind of, you know,
Social experiments.
And, but it didn't matter who they were, whether they're male or female. It didn't matter what their race was, what their age was. They all took the bait. Mm-hmm. They all took the bait. Why this young man reels them in. And money was the thing that pulled everybody in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, you know, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And we found out in that social experiment that you can use money to fish for men. Mm-hmm. You can use a message of prosperity. You can talk about how you get more stuff and things. You can talk about how you're driving my car. Is that one guy? It's like, what are you doing? Get off the highway. But yeah, he said he's like fishing for people using money. And he was just doing a social experiment. I don't know where he is. This particular young guy is, but you can really think about that. Every age, every gender, every race, you know, was drawn to that. And he was fishing, but you think about today that if you have nothing at the end of that, if what you're doing is building a big building, or, you know, whatever it is, I mean, you think about this, then you can easily manipulate folks and draw them in the context of that. And we're making a mistake because now people think it's about money. They think it's about money. They think it's about the $20 bill on the end of the fishing line. They think it's about the car. They think it's about the house. They think it's about the raise. They think it's about these different things. They think it's about the $1.3 million per baptized believer and don't even blink about it. Mm-hmm. But this is what Jesus also said. Not only am I going to make you fishers of men, but he says in Matthew 6:24, he says, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And that is so important. It's kind of humorous watching what's going on, but the truth is, I mean, how easy are you manipulated with a raise? Mm-hmm. Do you stop fellowshipping with your fellow believers in your church gathering because you can work more hours on that day that you gather? Are you spending all your time that you should be abiding with the Lord during that day, just thinking about how you can make more money that day and how you're going to be able to do this and do that? Has money become your God? Mm. Are you chasing money just like these people were chasing money? Yeah. I mean, you got to ask yourself, and there's been a gospel preached that says that's what you're supposed to do. That's how you know if God, I mean, if you got a lot of stuff and things, I mean, God loves you more than someone else.
Yeah.
And that's not true. God doesn't measure that's not how he measures things. But understand that oh, how funny that looked. I mean, don't you think you could think of somebody right now that if you threw a $20 bill out in a fishing line, they would chase it down
in a minute?
If somebody was in the church gathering where you're gathering together, maybe your local church gathering, and somebody threw a $20 bill in that church gathering on a fishing string and they started reeling it in, you would find people that follow that $20 bill out of the church into the street just to find out they left God for money. Mm-hmm. They left God for money. But think about this. If you're with Jesus and you're part of the 12 disciples, for example, or you're part of a gathering there on Beatitudes and Jesus is talking, and this guy threw a fishing line in with a $100 bill on the end of it, would you be distracted and turn your eyes from Jesus and start watching that thing and then start chasing it around like these folks? Would you leave Jesus for money? Can Satan pull you out of the church because you thought you'd make more money if you worked on that day that you gathered? Mm. Can he pull you out of your intimate abiding time with him because they want you to show up at this new job a little bit earlier instead of you finding a job that fits God in regards to what God wants for your life instead of you telling God to fit you? I mean, think about it. It boils down to it. We're the richest nation in the world, but are we like the rich young ruler? Have we walked away from God? And that's what happened with the rich young ruler. Because when Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler, he said, the rich young ruler said, what do I need to be saved? And Jesus said, well, this, this, and this. And so he proudly says, I've done that my whole life. Mm-hmm. And then he says one more thing. There's this guy that has this fishing string and fishing rod, and he has a $100 bill on the end of it. You can't chase that. I know it's going to tantalize you. It's going to tempt you. But when you start seeing that fishing string pull that $100 bill past you, you got to keep your eyes on me and don't run after money. You got to give away everything you have and follow me. And you know what the rich young ruler did? He walked away sad because he liked to chase money. Mm-hmm. He was in love with money. And I really believe right now that America, we got to repent for being like the rich young ruler. We ran after money. Humorous, that is totally hilarious. Revealing, according to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, we're not supposed to be fishing for money. We're supposed to be fishing for men. You don't catch men with money. You share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, the men who actually want God and want to make Jesus the Lord of life, they actually come. And the ones who don't just swim by like a fish would swim by your regular bait on the hook. Don't try to snag them. Just realize I need to go to another particular person and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's time for us to be fishers of men.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
My name is Rodney Hart Brown, and I'm inviting you to come to celebrate America, held at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall for the first 3 weeks in July. Celebrate America is going to be a spiritual invasion of a Jesus kind. Your nation is counting on you. The only hope for America is another great spiritual awakening. Celebrate America is July the 1st through the 19th, nightly meeting at 7 p.m., and then mass evangelism in the mornings on the streets. Enlist today for free at CelebrateAmericaDC.com. CelebrateAmericaDC.com.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults we should be able to do that.
Why is everybody trying to live so hard that they never do? It's like, you ain't got no life. What are you trying to do? Get a bigger TV or something? Come on, get out here with God. Do something for God. I mean, you don't even have to bungee jump no more. Just walk through a whole bunch of Pharisees and say, Jesus is Lord. It's better than bungee jumping. And then we'll load you in the basket and you can go on out. Walk through your city. Think about it. In Ephesus, there was no believers in Ephesus. One man named Paul comes into the city of Ephesus and begins to preach the gospel, and it becomes a hub for the kingdom of God. One man rocks an entire city because God was with him. He was a witness. What are you doing for God? They were waiting for the power company to come out. They were waiting for the creator of all power. So you're just walking around. I mean, you know what it's like in a natural sense. You're like, man, you walk into a room and you flip the switch on, but it's like, you're out of habit, you're just flipped, but nothing happens because you have no power. You can build a house, you can run wires in it, you can put receptacles in it, you can put fixtures in it, you can put television in it, you can put all kinds of tools in it, but guess what? If you have no power, it's still what it was before you ran the wiring. In the church today, we're doing all these different things, and it's like, yeah, I understand you got wires and understand you got receptacles and you got pews and you got buildings and you got corporations and you got all this kind of stuff. But do you have any power in that church?
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio. where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Of all the perspectives that we're hearing about Israel, very few of them are a good perspective and a blessed perspective. And we're going to spend this week, every single program, Monday through Friday, make sure you catch us, as we're giving you the right perspective, as Gordon Robertson put together this award-winning view of Israel, speaking about, you know, five different areas. One is agriculture, what God, how God is blessing them with their hard work through agriculture. Another one's through water, how they're purifying water, even though there's a limited amount of water, they're making it, extending it through the medical technology, through clean and green, and then just technology itself. It's amazing what's taking place. Take a look at this. It's going to bless your heart. This is how God is blessing Israel in the area of agriculture.
In 1867, Mark Twain toured the land of Israel, known back then as Palestine. Here's how he described it: a desolate country whose soil is rich enough, but is given over wholly to weeds, a silent, mournful expanse. There was hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes, desolate and unlovely. Today, Mark Twain wouldn't even recognize this land. Out of rocky soil, out of swamps, and even out of deserts, Israelis have created gardens, vineyards, and farms with some of the most innovative techniques in the world.
It was just this country with incredible dynamism and energy and excitement and food and people and a sense of family and ultimately a sense of belonging.
It's been said that the modern state of Israel was born on the kibbutz. So it's only natural that much of Israel's innovation was born there as well.
The kibbutz is the cornerstone in a lot of ways of a lot of things in Israeli society.
People came back wanting to create a collective and an equal society. And these kibbutzim became a very, very effective way to defend the land, to start getting young people engaged in agriculture. Remember, Jews were forbidden in most countries of the world to actually own land or to work the land. Jews couldn't be farmers. To all of a sudden see a generation of Jews farming the land in a collective environment, it was incredible.
Before Israel even became a state, Jews by the thousands came to live there on communal farms. But when they arrived in the Promised Land, it wasn't exactly flowing with milk and honey. The coastal plains were swampy. The Galilee and the Judean hills were rocky. And the southern half of the country was mostly desert.
Since the people of Israel left our homeland 2,000 years ago, the area was mismanaged. So we want to preserve and rehabilitate this holy land.
The early Jewish settlers faced a number of obstacles, from bad soil to Bedouin raiders. But they faced an even bigger enemy that threatened to destroy the Jewish state before it began. In the early decades of the 20th century, Israel was a breeding ground for mosquitoes carrying malaria. They overtook the coastal plains and the Jordan Valley, the only land available for Jews to buy since the local Arabs had decided it was uninhabitable. In 1920, more than a third of all Jewish residents of Palestine had malaria. So with no other choice, they went to work. They drained the swamps and sprayed the land and changed the flow of water and irrigation canals to interrupt the mosquitoes' breeding. They were so successful that a commission from the League of Nations visited Palestine to learn what they did. Less than 20 years after Israel's statehood, the country was officially malaria-free. Once the threat of malaria was gone, Jewish settlers were free to focus on making the desert bloom. In the coastal plains, citrus groves replaced the swamps. And the Jordan Valley, once the center of the malaria epidemic, now became the country's breadbasket. The Negev Desert blossomed with newly planted forests and vineyards. And the Arava, once the most arid part of Israel, became the site of a flourishing vegetable industry. All of this was accomplished in the first 20 years of Israel's statehood. In that time, they more than doubled their standard of living. And now they're using their experience to help other countries. In the 1970s, they created a new breed of cherry tomato that's disease resistant and has a longer shelf life. They also bred a new kind of potato that can be grown in hot, dry climates and irrigated by salt water. These vegetables are now being grown in dry countries like Jordan, Egypt, and Morocco. Israeli scientists not only found ways to grow more crops, they also found new ways to preserve them. GrainPro cocoons provide an inexpensive way for farmers to keep their grain market fresh by keeping out water, air, and insects. The Israeli cocoons are being used in Africa, the Far East, and even Pakistan, a nation with no diplomatic ties to Israel.
The kibbutz over time began to change. Israeli society began to change, became more capitalistic, became more focused on free enterprise and entrepreneurship and the individual taking responsibility for himself and therefore benefiting the overall society. There have been many very exciting companies that have been built in kibbutzim.
One of those companies is now doing business around the world.
You went to the average Israeli 10, 12 years ago and said to them organic, they wouldn't have a clue what you were talking about. Here we've been doing organic farming for over 40 years.
Kibbutz Ste Eliyahu was founded by German refugees in 1934, and many of their early members were survivors of the Holocaust.
So the biggest problem that we had when we started the organic was, what do you do if you're not using chemicals? How do you get rid of the pests?
Their answer was to fight bugs with more bugs.
Every single thing in nature has a natural enemy. What eats or what attacks these pests that are attacking our crops?
They started breeding different insects in the bomb shelter of the kibbutz. The idea was to breed predators to destroy the pests that ate their crops. The result was a new company called BioBee.
We went to the Israeli farmers. We said, want to buy some bugs? They said, what, are you crazy? We don't have enough bugs in the field. You want us to buy bugs?
Eventually, they won over farmers in Israel and in 32 other countries as well. In California, 60% of the strawberry fields are treated with products from BioBee. The company also found a way to deal with one of the region's most devastating insects, the Mediterranean fruit fly.
We take the males of the species and we sterilize them. And then we release the sterile males into the environment. There's no future generation. And slowly, slowly, we lower the population without using harmful chemicals.
They also solved another agricultural problem: how to pollinate greenhouse plants.
The classic example we like to give is tomato plants. Tomato plants in nature, in the fields, are pollinated by the wind. In Israel, the majority of our tomatoes are not grown in the fields. They're grown in greenhouses. And in a greenhouse, in a climate-controlled environment, you don't have that wind. You don't have the natural pollination. We had to find other methods of pollination.
Their solution was to breed bumblebees.
They collect pollen for food. They have to go and work even in cold weather conditions. They don't have stores of honey in the hive. They have to go and work. We're saving the farmer money because instead of paying people, the bees are doing the work. And the bees, unlike people, they don't miss a single flower. So once the farmers started using the bees for pollination, the yield of the tomato crops increased by 25%. In Hebrew we say, Marabu Ma'asech Elokim, you know, how great and wonderful are your creations, God. And this really shows that every single thing has a reason. There's a purpose for everything, these tiny little things, and look how much good they do for us, for the world, for the farmers, for the environment. It's really, really amazing.
Farmers at Ste Eliyahu not only targeted insects, they also found a creative way to get rid of rodents as well.
What we used to do is basically used to take poison in a bottle, in a teaspoon, and somebody's job was to walk up and down the rows, and every time they saw a mouse hole, to take a teaspoon of poison and throw it down the hole. Now, obviously that's not ecologically friendly. On top of that, if it rains or if we irrigate our fields, all that poison's going in the grounds. So we said, what is a natural solution to rodents? And the natural solution that we found is the barn owl. The barn owl is an amazing raptor. Two owls can capture an average of 2,000 to 5,000 mice a year. Okay, that's a lot of rodents.
There was just one problem with the owls.
They fly away. And one of the places they would fly to is Jordan, which is very close by. In Jordan, they were shooting them. In Arab folklore, the barn owl is a harbinger of death. And they're very superstitious about barn owls. So they see in a barn owl, they shoot it. So very simply, we went to Jordan, and we invited the Jordanian farmers to come to Staley Owl to see what we were doing here. This was over 20 years ago. And today we have over 2,600 nesting boxes across the country. Numbers keep growing. But also it's become a wonderful program of regional cooperation, also with Jordan, also with the Palestinian Authority. This has been amazing, amazing success story. We tell the people it's not the dove bringing peace anymore to the Middle East, it's the barn owl. We're a light unto the nations. We're supposed to be anyway. If we want to really save the environment, if we really want to help the world, then we can't keep these things to ourselves. We have to share these things. We have to share this knowledge. And I think by helping others, we're helping ourselves as well.
I will make you, Genesis 12:3, a blessing to all nations,
wow,
all people of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Just, I mean, we got so much in store for you for all five programs.
That's
this
just
week.
One video.
That's just one, man. And we are looking forward to sharing that with you. And it's going to be available to you. You can actually get it. Go to the VFNTV.com, go to the torch, and have access to all of it so you can share it with your friends. We need to begin to share the reality of the blessing. I mean, look at this, these cocoons, grain cocoons that are keeping the grain dry, that they're, you know, Africa's benefiting from them. The Far East is benefiting from them. Pakistan, the one who doesn't even acknowledge, you know, Israel exists or has a right to exist, that they're helping them. I mean, they're just the epitome of mercy and extending grace. And it's obviously a God thing. I mean, God has just done that in the context of it. But new ways to be able to come up with water. They spent 20 years in dealing with, patiently dealing with and having that tenacity to deal with the mosquito and dealing with that issue. And it took 20 years, I guess it would be 1968 when that happened. And rerouting the Jordan to bring water. And the biggest thing is, think about this, that the Arabs said, we don't even want that land.
Yeah.
It's useless. You can have it. If you go back and look, when the British were dividing up the land, and the largest portions went to the Arabs, it didn't go to Israel. Israel didn't even have the land they have now. I mean, it was 1967 borders. If you go back and look, it was a small slither of land. And but they worked it.
Yeah.
And God blessed them. And now you're looking at radical Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, radical Islam coming in saying, we want that land.
Yeah.
And it's like, you didn't want it to begin with, right?
Yeah, it goes to show you what people can do when they understand that all they have to depend upon is themselves and God. You know,
right.
I mean, if you don't depend on anybody else, their agriculture, their food, their protection, they say, we've got to figure this out.
Right.
We've got to figure this out.
Right, right. And they just don't take no for an answer.
That's right.
Mm. I mean, think of, that's how America used to be that way. America would just push and strive and, you know, most patents came from America, you know, inventions, and that's who America used to be. And America can be again. I believe with the Third Great Awakening, it's going to be again. But we just kind of surrender that of who we were.
Yeah.
And because America existed, God allowed it to exist. In 1948, President Harry Truman signed the papers and acknowledged not only does Israel have the right to be a nation that's a nation, but the force of America was behind that reality.
Yeah.
At that time, though, that was a piece of land that nobody even wanted. But because they worked it, God has blessed their hands, the work of their hands, and now they're blessing. Just like he said in Genesis 12:3, he says, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed by you. More when we get back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now,
right.
Because it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or you've been, somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore. Somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore. And they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that you're, it just seems dead. It just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that, that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right.
And I stepped to the VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org. VFNfamily.org.
Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello. I don't know where that came from.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
We were just talking in the break time about Pat and his sleep deprivation and John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
He only got 9 hours sleep last night.
Yeah. Only 9, yeah, right.
Just sleep a little bit more, man.
Yeah. Oh, my
that's,
goodness.
That's like 2 days worth of sleep.
Well, oh. So Pat and I were in Washington, D.C.
Oh, please do.
We were in Washington, D.C., and he looks strong. All I got to just keep him up all night. I mean, it'll be over.
Yeah, much.
But it's so much. It's a facade.
Yes.
And so we're staying at this particular guy's house for staying in the gap, actually.
Yeah.
And he had this deep passion for God, you know, knowing him as father's heart. And and so he's talking to us, and we've been on all day long to the mall and just zoos and whatever else in Washington. And so I'm listening to this guy. I'm just like on the edge of my seat, right? And Pat's kind of sitting here to the back side of me, and they had pizza. And he was sitting on the edge of the table, and he's whispering. He's saying,
the guy is.
Yeah, Fang's hands and so the guy's going, it's the Father's heart, right?
Pat?
It's like, no.
The guy.
I'll show you Pat in a moment. So I'm leaning forward. I'm like, this guy's got it. It's the Father's heart. It's the Father's heart. So I'm so intense and intrigued. I'm thinking, this guy's got it. And I look back at Pat, and Pat's like, his face was hanging down. He was chewing on a piece of pizza. I'm like, you ain't even listening. It's the Father's heart. And I found out why he was whispering, because he didn't want to wake up Jezebel. He was actually held captive
in the basement.
He was yeah.
Oh my god.
But we had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful time.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Francis Chan and his wife, Lisa, has written a book on marriage. And, John, tell us about this marriage focus. I can imagine what it would be like for that's a book I would want to read.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a book I would want to read. Tell us about it.
Well, Christian Post is reporting that Francis Chan and his wife, you said, they've written a book. And the idea is that they say that so many times couples are caught up trying to have the perfect marriage that they unwittingly make their union, their spouse, and then ultimately their children into idols.
So true.
So true. And so they say, listen, let's get the focus off of each other and let's put the focus back on God. Right. The whole reason why we are together anyway.
Right.
And so they put a promotional video together. They decided to self-publish this book because with the proceeds, they want to continue to further their missions and the things that they're doing all around the world to share the gospel. But I want you to listen firsthand from their own testimony about why they put this book together.
I gotta see it.
Watch this.
So I'm Francis, this is Lisa. We're writing this book.
I
called...
wanted to introduce myself.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay. Sorry.
Good.
I'm Francis Chan.
And I'm Lisa Chan.
See, that's why I didn't do it, because it's like, Francis, I'm Lisa. Anyways, we just wrote this book called You and Me Forever, and the whole idea behind it is, you know, sometimes couples can get so wrapped up on things here and to where they're not focused on the kingdom.
Our marriages need to remember that we're on a mission. It isn't about how satisfied and happy are we with one another.
For me, it was 1 Corinthians 7 when Paul talks about the potential of marriage being a distraction, and he was saying how we want to secure undistracted or undivided devotion to the Lord.
We felt like there was something lacking, that there wasn't a resource that really helped couples pull out of that inward focus and make it so much about one another and rather make an outward focus and say, what are we really here for? What is the bigger picture about marriage?
And so we just thought, man, maybe we've just got it all backwards, and can we write about this and talk about marriage in light of eternity?
You've got to read this because I think it will change your mind. It will change your heart. It'll help you see marriage in an entirely different light.
I'm excited about this. I feel so good, especially about the things that Lisa's written in this book, where I go, gosh, that's powerful. It's stuff that we need to hear, but it's right out of the scriptures. And so I want everyone to get this. I believe it's something God has asked me to write. And so my whole burden is I've got to get it to as many people as possible. That's why we decided to self-publish, because I wanted to be able to give it away for free to everyone who needs it. We're hoping that it even brings in some resource that we can then give to people in other countries who are in serious need. And so we're just constantly thinking, man, how can we build people up here overseas? And I feel like this project has the opportunity to do that.
So some of you are probably wondering, where are the proceeds of this book going to go? You're talking about giving it away for free, but some of us can buy a copy. We just want you to know that 100% of the profits from this book are going to go towards so many different projects around the world. So we just can't wait to see what God's going to do with the resources from this book.
You and me forever.
Get it today. You and Me Forever by Francis and Lisa Chan.
YouandMeForever.org, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I think about this. You know, we have placed marriage, the narrative of our marriage, and look what's happened to it.
Yeah.
We've made everything about marriage and worshipped the institution of marriage, and all of a sudden it's like God's saying, I'm taking it away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you look at the patriarchs and those that have gone before us, they say, listen, I want you to go up to the city and find me a wife. And you know, their employee would go find them a wife,
right?
Yeah,
because it was amazing. And then you had kids, and it was just about, you know, we're living life, but something all of a sudden it became about us and about what I can get out of it, and that you know, marriage had a purpose to be able to work together to raise family and to honor God, and it had structure and all of this, and now it's become about, You know, I'm trying to find my soulmate. Mm. You know, I'm trying to find somebody that makes me happy.
Happy, happy.
Happy, happy, happy.
That's right.
I'm trying to, you know, they don't make me feel right. I don't like the way they do this or they do that. And it's like, when it was an agricultural society, it's like, I'm just so glad they're helping me in the field right now.
Hello.
You know, you can't dog anybody out that's helping you pull weeds away from the bean sprouts. You know what I'm saying? It's like, thank you.
Probably too tired to argue anyway.
Yeah, or the mother or the wife that's actually helping you raise the children or vice versa. And you all work together. What have we done to the institution of marriage? And I could bet bottom dollar this is going to be a good book. I haven't read it yet, but guarantee you're looking, I'm going to get that one. And because we got to get back to a biblical perspective. And this one thing Francis is, I mean, Francis challenges himself when he talks. But Crazy Love, his book, and just, I feel so challenged when he talks. Yeah. I mean, he walks into the IHOP Kansas City, and everybody there feels like, my goodness, we got to get saved. Right?
Exactly.
That meant, obviously, no, we're joking, are we? Anyway, so, but he just challenges you and go, you know, I could do more for God. I mean, he did all this for me. I could do more for him. And man, if we can get marriage, not other people's marriage, the church's marriage back to the way it's supposed to be. Because, I mean, you talk about when you start, you have to cancel all these crazy seminars about marriage, these secular, Americanized gospel says worship the institution, worship your spouse.
Worship people.
All that kind of stuff, and worship your kids. You know, turn that back around and worship God and Him only, and then just be grateful that God is blessing us. I can imagine. It's got to be good.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one.
It's got to be good, man. So talk to us, man, about Nick. What's this thing about Nick?
Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, we face struggles, you know, obstacles, and many times people are tempted to just spend all their time focusing on the struggle and focus on the things that are hindering them.
Man, there's a lot we're going to have time to cover, Nick, man. Well, but I don't know that we can't do this tomorrow. But I want to hear about this particular abortion doctor. You know, we have time to be able to, you got to hear this. This is just, it was just horrific what this man has said. Tell us about this man and what he's done.
Well, this is happening in Milwaukee. LifeNews.com is reporting this, and this is horrific. I couldn't believe when I saw this, but, you know, an abortionist, he has killed 95,000 babies, and he considers it his calling. His name is Dennis Christensen. And he wants to retire, but he has a problem. He told himself that when he made plans to retire, he would only do so if he could find another practitioner, we could probably say murderer, to take over his business. But he can't find the physician to be able to do that. He can't find one. And so him and his partner, they've been doing this for 40 years now. 40 years. They've been ending human lives. And now the law is such in Wisconsin that abortionists have to have admitting privileges
to a hospital.
At local hospitals, which is making it more, you know, more difficult for them to be able to.
Who's the governor of that state?
Scott Walker.
He's a pastor's son.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's a pastor's son, and stands up for God. And they're the ones he posted like a scripture on his Twitter account for Ephesians or whatever.
That's right.
And they just media wise.
Right. On his own Twitter account,
he couldn't post the scriptures up there. And so you're looking at him. I think about this governor, Governor Rick Scott of Florida, other governors are taking huge stands for children, for innocent blood. Because I think about Proverbs chapter 6. He says things that God hates. He hates the hands of this doctor.
Yeah.
He says he hates the hands that shed innocent blood. 95,000.
95,000.
Wow.
He says Zoe felt that this was a worthwhile endeavor. This is
killing these children is a worthwhile endeavor?
This is quoted as saying. He says, and there aren't many people willing to do it.
I wonder why.
Yeah, hello. He, you know, it's absolutely horrible. He says that because he's been able to endure harassment from others, which is basically people telling him the truth.
Right.
They can't find other people to. He wants someone else to take on his place. This is what he said. He said, "I see this as a calling, I guess," Christensen said. "But I've been called, I've served, and now I'd like to call someone else."
He served.
And my question is, Christian, who are you serving?
He's serving Lucifer.
Hey, hello.
Yeah, that's who he's serving.
He's serving the devil. He said, I've been called. I've served. I'm looking for someone else, basically, to take this over.
Right.
And they've been doing this, him and his partner, I believe his partner's Bernard, they've been doing this for 40 years in the state of Milwaukee. And now because of laws that Scott Walker and the legislature there have been able to pass, they're finding it more and more difficult to be able to continue this horrific, horrific crime. And we talked about not long ago Kermit Gosnell and all of the horrific things he did in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And the truth is still, you know, coming out upon. They're doing a documentary about that place. In fact, they're turning it over. They're looking at ways to make that abortion clinic into a place of hope now. They're making plans to reclaim that property.
Oh, wow.
And may that happen all across the nation, really.
Well, you think about this. That a lot of times people say, well, that's not a law at all. I mean, you need a law that just says knock it off.
Yeah.
But this is a law that is stopping it.
Has teeth, yeah.
But it has teeth, but it's not saying, you know, just end abortion. They're saying if you're going to murder children, if you're going to end the life of children in the womb, then you have to be connected to Sanity, a local hospital.
Yeah.
Because, like, for example, in Florida, if that baby's born alive, then you are that baby's born with rights in the eyes of the law in Florida. And if you do anything other than get that baby to a hospital, then you're going to be persecuted to the extent of the law, what you did to that citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a law that says, like you're talking about, I think about Texas has that law as well, that you got to be connected. And what hospital is going to say, because they take a Hippocratic oath that says, I will not harm, I will not
do no harm.
And so for the hospital to say, we will connect with this abortion clinic so they can kill 95,000 children, I mean, it's probably the end of that hospital's existence.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? The hospital, you're looking at people who are going to say, that's the hospital you don't go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, man, this is amazing. So this is taking place in?
In Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he said, this is my call. This is my call. We're just going to just join us right now. We just say, dear God.
Yes.
End abortion in America and send revival. Send a third great awakening, we ask, in the name of your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Visit Miss Sue's Vintage Market for your special one-of-a-kind gifts and for all your antique decor. Vintage, rustic, distressed furniture, collectibles on the corner of Ensley and North Palafox, where you can buy, sell, and consign. Visit Sue today. Oh my goodness, Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue, a taste of Southern Soul on Highway 29, just 1/4 mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right hand side. Come on in and get some. Auto Docks of Pensacola is where all Sid cars go to get well. ASC and Toyota Master Technicians are at hand, specializing in automotive repair, transmission repair, vehicle maintenance, and so much more. Call and make an appointment for your sick car today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.